Hello, friends and listeners from all across the globe. Thanks so much for tuning back into another episode of the Yogi Show podcast. My name is Pedro Luna, and I'm here alongside my co-host, Yogi Brian. We have an inspiring conversation on deck for you with the one and only DJ Townsell. DJ Townsell is an amazing human, a yogi, a former pro athlete, a football player. He was on the Titan Games with The Rock, and he's got a message for you today. So before we dive into today's episode, we wanted to give a quick shout out to our brand new sponsor of The Yogi Show, Pranamat Eco. Pranamat Eco is an awesome acupressure company based out of Europe. They have the highest quality products for acupressure. We know that Yogi Brian and I love acupressure. It's like giving yourself a massage. And in these trying times, who doesn't need a little bit of extra love? So maybe you're not going out and you're being socially distant, you're being at home, but you need some massage in your life. So check out Pranamat Eco. You can look them up at pranamateco.com. All the information is below on the links to be able to check them out and grab one for yourself or someone you love. Again, that's at pranamateco.com. All right, let's dive into this episode of the show. Thank you for all of your support on the show and this beautiful journey of life. We all appreciate you so much. Let's do it, and we'll see you on the other side. Hey, here we go. Welcome to the Yogi Show, Mr. DJ Townsell, the Rasta Yogi. Day two show. Hey, man. How are you today, man? How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Man, we're doing awesome. Brian, what's up, brother?
What is up, Pedro? DJ, what's up? Live from the car.
Live
from the truck. Right here.
From the office, man. This is my office.
He's in the office, man. You're a hustler, man.
It's a little bit bigger. I had a Chevy Malibu at first. I said, I got to get the truck. I need my office to be bigger.
That's amazing. Well, I see you all the time on Instagram on Day 2 Shelby on, you know, work at the gym at like 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning.
Oh my God.
Training.
I was there this morning. Yeah. I have a passion for helping people become their most powerful self. And whether that's in through yoga, through fitness, through just talks that I have with people, through my practice or my fitness journey, I have no set hours.
Yeah, it's whenever. So that's your full-time thing now, right? It's like all the things you just talked about, like that's your full-time thing?
Yeah, personal training is the main thing that I do, I guess, during the week. And then sponsorships on Instagram, then workshops when I travel and retreats.
There you go, man. All in the mix. Living your best life.
Yeah, trying to. It's a busy one, but I love it.
Yeah. So real quick, are you from Miami or where are you from?
I'm from Miami, from Opa-locka.
Opa-locka. Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right.
A lot of people from there don't make it to yoga.
No, definitely no. But you did, you know, so tell us about that. So, you know, people love a good story, and I know you got a good one. So give them the story, you know, from college football player to Murray State, to all the leagues, to yoga. Give us a little bit of background.
So grew up in Miami. I've been a student athlete since I was 6.
Wow,
played baseball year round. Didn't start playing football until my junior year in high school. So that was just something I was good at, not something I was necessarily passionate about, but just great at. So played my junior year, senior year in high school, got a scholarship to Murray State, started there for 4 years. Actually, my biggest thing was just getting to school and not having to pay for it. That was the main thing as far as football is concerned. And NFL didn't become a possibility until my senior year when I started to be scouted. So I was like, okay, maybe I can actually make it to that level. And I did.
Yeah.
So
man.
My thing was to just get school paid for, graduate with my, which I didn't graduate. But, yeah. Graduate with my degree in graphic design and then go from there. But, you know, life finds its way of throwing you, you know, down a different path.
Sure. Of course. So what was it like in the league? Were you doing yoga when you were in the league? No, right?
Oh, I wasn't. I didn't start. So I played 2 years in the NFL. Then I played Canadian. Then I played in the UFL before they folded. Then I played arena football. It was in the UFL when I played in Omaha, Nebraska. I started doing yoga, just started like dabbling and trying to stay in shape, stay loose and everything. And then when I started playing arena football, because it's such close quarters, I was like, I need something that's going to help me stay limber because I'm going to get hit regardless, like by a wall or by the turf or by somebody else. So I just started doing yoga then and like got really into it. Once football was over, it was something that I'd already fallen in love with. So I just kept going.
Nice, man. Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Yeah, what was your first introduction to yoga? Well, I was reading your story that it was like a 20-minute video, right? Like,
I literally did what, it's funny, a lot of people don't utilize this resource. I went on YouTube and typed in beginner yoga and found a yoga journal, a bunch of yoga journal videos, and they had 20-minute beginner yoga. So I started doing that every day for 20 minutes for like 6 months until I felt comfortable enough to go do stuff on my own.
Nice, man. Nice. So from Googling yoga journal and YouTube, searching beginner yoga, and now you're on yoga journal. Now I see you, and now you're on yoga journal doing videos.
I didn't want to be the one to make that connection. So I'm glad you did.
No, I'll make the connection, man. I'll make the connection. I've been following DJ's journey for 4.5 years, y'all. Okay, check this out. A little bit of history how this all happened from 4.5 years ago. I started Yogi Memes. I had 1,800 followers. And DJ shared a meme of a little girl with like sticking her middle finger up when the yoga teacher comes over to hand, when you think you're killing a pose and the yoga teacher comes over and hands you a block. And all of a sudden I'm looking at my phone. I'm getting like, I refresh. I got 8 new followers, refresh, like 10 more followers. Like all that it was like, oh my God, like all these people are coming. I woke up in the morning, had like 1,000 new followers because of DJ. And I was like, oh shit. Like he thinks I'm funny. Like this is so cool. Like, like now we're friends, you know? And then now he's on, you know? And then, so just over the years we've connected, I've made memes of DJ and we've just became friends on the internet. And it's just amazing to see like your journey inspired from doing 20-minute yoga videos to keep your body limber in Omaha, Nebraska, in the crux of the cold, you know, to now, you know, doing your thing on Yoga Journal, making videos to help and inspire people to live their best lives. And now we're connected through, you know, funny humor on social media. Obviously you have a sense of humor. I've seen some of those memes you made back in the day.
That's right.
You know, but your journey to the mat is inspiring. And do you feel like, so football wasn't your purpose then? Like obviously football wasn't it, but you thought about it.
Football, I thought football was my purpose. It was just something I was great at. It wasn't my purpose. And I realized that because, you know, I've seen a lot of guys, friends of mine, teammates, they're like some still on the journey trying to get back to the NFL. And after a couple years out, I was like, I can't keep doing this. Mm-hmm. Like if something was really your purpose, then nothing would keep you away from it. And something just pulled me away from it. So it couldn't have possibly been my purpose. So it was what kept drawing me to, like, it was like, what was my mind being drawn to? What did I want to do every day? And it was fitness and yoga.
And the
fitness was to help other people. The yoga was to help me. And then naturally it just evolved that, you know, to become a teacher and help people. And that actually came through tragedy. So
snap.
Yeah. So my uncle was, he was a science teacher in Atlanta. And I don't know if you guys heard of it, Ron Clark Academy is a very well-known like private school in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So he was a teacher there and he actually passed away in 2014. And I went to his funeral and just saw all the kids and people he had taught in the past that were coming there and how many lives he had touched through teaching. So I was like, well, I want to follow in his footsteps. And of course, I don't want to be a teacher. Like, I can't deal with kids who aren't my own. So, so I was like, how can I impact people like this through teaching? What do I know? What can I offer the world? And yoga happened to be that thing.
Yeah.
So I went and literally a few weeks after his funeral, I enrolled in teacher training.
Man, congratulations. How many years ago was that? 2014?
That was 5 years ago.
5 years ago, wow. Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so, it sucks about that tragedy and sucks about your uncle, but then like, it's like how you change that around and like really, you know, went to teacher training and now you're like, you know, doing retreats and like you're sharing your practice on Instagram and you're like really helping like guys like get into yoga. Cause it's like more guys need yoga. Like anybody out there, like tell your husbands to watch this or like,
yeah, this is the one
guys like start yoga. Like it's so amazing.
No. Yeah. In a funny way, I was getting some guys to like start doing yoga because, you know, of course on Instagram, you get the trolls every now and then and you get like,
Karen guys
like,
lurking,
oh,
bro.
Like, oh, that's gay. You know, how do you feel like this is manly? I'm like, dude, do you watch women stretch? They're like, yeah, of course I do. Okay. What makes like, you realize women do the same thing if there's a straight guy in class, like a good looking guy in a yoga class. They look too.
Yeah.
So you're setting yourself up for a good situation. And that was my way of dumbing it down to get them into the door. And then once they realize the actual benefits of it and see that they're changing, then they stick with it.
Yeah, right. It's an internal experience. And people, so many people out there, like with men, people ask us all the time, like, you know, how did you guys start yoga? What is the thing? And it's like, I wanted to do it to better myself and to find a deeper connection, relieve stress and anxiety and all that stuff. And so many people are out there that are just suffering and need help, and a lot of men. And they just think like there's this, it's not for me, you know, it's only for women. Yeah. And it's just not, you know, it's literally for everybody. And that's what I hope that maybe, you know, if you're listening to this now, like send this to your husband, send this to your partner, send this to whoever that just needs a little bit of inspiration. The yoga is for everybody, everybody.
And that's what got me hooked on it is I started for the physical, and then the spiritual and the mental benefits is what got me really into it. So I started delving into things that I never thought I would possibly think about. Yeah. So yeah,
what was the first weird thing, DJ? What's like the first weird thing where like the rabbit hole opened? You're like, man, this is some weird shit, but I'm gonna do this.
It didn't happen until YTT. We did a Kundalini class.
I was gonna say Kundalini.
Kundalini is some real like stuff. Oh, like, be careful if you try Kundalini. Like, yeah, you'll feel it for sure. Yeah. You will. Yeah.
Brian loves, so when, as soon as you said it, dude, I was like, oh, Brian loves Kundalini, man. This is going to be good. This is gonna be so good. And to say it's going to be so good.
Other than, I mean, that was the first time, like something really like, I mean, of course I'm a very self-aware person. So the little benefits, like, you know, being more calm or being more, you know, open to communication and things like that, I was seeing that, but that was the first like surreal thing that happened. I was like, oh shit. For real. And I've had other things, like I've astral projected once before. That was insane, and it was almost like a dream, but it was very real. And then I try to do, like, when, you know, people make fun of like the whole full moon rituals and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
So one time there was a full moon, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna try something different. I'm gonna do a full moon meditation. So I don't know if a lot of your listeners, I mean, we're on a yoga podcast. I smoked. I sat on my balcony, did a full moon meditation, and literally, like, my body was, like, shaking, like, the whole time. I was like, okay, all right, I'm going a little too deep now.
Reel it back, right?
Yeah. I was like, come back, bring it back.
That's powerful, like, man. I feel that.
I love that, dude. I love that, man. See,
all just doing it physical, right? All starting from a 20-minute YouTube video. Everybody out there listening, all started from a 20-minute YouTube video.
Yeah.
It could be you too.
Yeah.
And then eventually you'll have The Rock doing Warrior 2 next to you.
There you go, man. There you go. So tell us about that. You know, so I remember when that came out.
Hold on, real quick. You know that I still have not gotten that picture from NBC. The only reason I still have that picture is because you made the meme of it.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I paused.
That's the only reason I have that picture.
I paused the TV. Check this. DJ was on the Titan games, and we're gonna let you talk about it, but I took a picture of that and I made a meme of it, and and you don't even have that picture, man. That's messed up. Come on, NBC, if you're listening out there. We know Joy Bauer from NBC. I'm gonna hit her up on the Today Show.
Please do, because I've been emailing them like crazy, like, can I please get the picture of me and The Rock doing Warrior 1? They're like, yeah, we'll see if we can do it. So of course, like, you know, most of us, I tried to go on like Hulu and screenshot it. Yeah. Hulu has that blocked, so if you screenshot it, the screen comes back black. I'm like, dude, can I have my picture?
Can I get it, man? Tell us about that, man. Yeah, hit it. How did you get on the Titan game? What was it like? Obviously, it was yoga mindset. Like, they called you like the yoga. Like, they really played it like you're the yoga guy, you know? And they really went on the yoga guy thing.
So I guess I can say it now. I'm not on contract anymore. But one of the producers, he's a yoga instructor in L.A. He was one of the casting producers, and he follows me. So he hit me up and was like, hey, you know, we're doing a show. You know, it's going to be kind of like American Ninja Warrior, but a lot deeper than that. The Rock's going to be hosting. It'd be great if you applied for it. I'm thinking like, okay, this is just some random person giving me some bullshit. So I was kind of like playing. I was kind of like brushed it off. And then one day, I wasn't even following The Rock, you know, surprisingly. But
come on,
I went on his page, and it was like Titan Games casting. I was like, oh, this is real. So I went and found the message. I was like, yo, send me all the information. I actually, I didn't send my application in until 5 minutes before the deadline.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. So finally got that in. And then of course they fly us out. We do like this whole combine, kind of like an NFL type thing. and ended up shooting. Yeah, very familiar with it, but it was still like different because we don't do like deadlifts and, you know, test your VO2 max, which is pretty much you're just sprinting for like 15 minutes and they just keep raising up the intensity. I'm like, dude, this shit's crazy. So that's actually worse than a NFL combine or a pro day.
Damn.
Yeah, they didn't play around. But no, it was a dope experience. Like the only thing I didn't like was shooting at night because I love my sleep. Mm. But yeah, we shot from like 5 p.m. to like 4 a.m. and then you pretty much got to sleep the rest of the morning and then try to salvage what you have left of your day before you shoot again in the next couple of days. So yeah, it was a dope experience though. Like very, very incredible.
That was amazing, man. I was so, when you were on there, I was cheering you on, man. I was cheering on like, this guy's going to do it. And that, you know, I was like, he's got to win this one. He's got to win this first one, you know? and then you did, you know, you did. And it was just so inspiring to see, like knowing that you came from what you came from and that you've gone through the journey and it's allowed you the opportunity for those windows to open, you know, like, and that's what it is like for everyone out there listening. It's like, just be open to whatever the universe is bringing into your vibration and be open to it, accepting it, you know, and like saying, I'm worthy of this experience. You know what I mean? Like I put in the work, you know, you put it in the work to be able to do that
experience. Like even just the whole application process, it was like, I kept thinking like, okay, I'm going to apply for it. And if it's for me, it'll happen. That's what I just kept internalizing. And same thing with the competition, like the competition itself. We weren't sure what we were going to do until we got out there. Like we didn't know what competitions we were doing, what everything consisted of. But, you know, you just go out there and it's like, okay, if it's for me, it's for me. If it's not, it's not. And just have fun, give your best, like do whatever you can.
Yep. Yeah.
But like the yoga is what helped me out because, you know, I'm used to, you know, audiences watching me compete or like a big crowd or anything like that. But just the fact that I didn't know exactly how I was going to get through these obstacle courses, all I did was like before the cannon went off or whatever they did, I would just like take a few Ujjayi breaths just to calm myself down and then just take off.
See, Ujjayi pranayama.
for the win right there.
Like imagine like if someone would have told you like when you're in college or like right when you went into the NFL, like, hey, in the future you're gonna be a yoga teacher and lead retreats, what would you say to them? Would you be like, yeah, fucking right?
I would say they were batshit crazy. when I was in the NFL, I thought maybe 5 years down the line I'd still be in the NFL. And that was very short-lived. So it was a lot of questions in my mind of what my next step was going to be. And like I said, what's for me is for me. And it kind of, the path kind of paved its own way. All I did was just keep, you know, following it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep practicing.
And being open to it, you know, it's like when that one door closes, like something else is going to open, you know? And it's not always easy to go through that transition, you know, growing through whatever it is that we're going through is challenging, especially when you're attached or, you know, someone attached to like, this is what the vision that I have created for my life. And it's like, someone's telling me like, you're cut. It's over. Yeah. Was it physical injury or just like, it was over for you?
No, just cut normal things that happen in the NFL. I was the last man in. And usually when things happen, you're the first guy out.
Yeah.
So pretty much how it happens.
Okay. And yeah. And then you went on and then you know, it's like nice that interesting that you tried the other experiences and just like, ultimately it's like, okay, like I'm gonna let go of that, and letting go is the key. And so many people are just like,
that's the key. And also the hardest part.
Yeah, no doubt. It's not easy.
I mean, it's, and your ego wants to take over. Cause it's like, okay, I'm making six figures here playing football. And now, you know, my next step is personal training for, you know, way less than that. Or even teaching yoga for even less than what I do for personal training. But I mean, eventually it starts to come back up where now I can create my own pay.
Yeah, you can do whatever.
So it's like, hey, would you want to come teach this? It's like, yeah, for this much I can.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just the beginning, you know. It's like it's going to grow into so many other, you already know. It's already grown into so many other things and opportunities, you know. So how do you set yourself up for success, DJ? Like first thing in the morning, what's the routine like? How do you get yourself pumped up for your day? What is your routine like?
First thing in the morning is telling myself to get up because I can go back to sleep really easily. No, my girlfriend's so surprised. Like my alarm goes off at 3:50 every morning and she's always surprised that I'm able to actually get up. Like I'll jump up, turn my alarm off, go use the restroom, brush my teeth. I'm putting clothes on. I'm literally out the door in 15 minutes of me waking up and I'm what you see on Instagram, me training clients. Okay. So, I mean, the key to success is just, my thing is always don't transfer energy from one place to the next. So as tired as I am, as sleepy as I am, I don't allow my clients to see that. Mm-hmm. Or if my clients annoy me, I mean, they don't normally, but, or if something that happens outside of my house annoys me, I don't bring that energy back to the house. So that's really my key to success is don't transfer energy from one place to the next.
That's amazing. Yes. It's like holding space for your clients. Like really, that's what it is. Holding space. Like,
and for my family, like making sure that the space, like you don't always dictate the energy that's around you. So it's a lot of times we very easily allow ourselves to absorb that energy, whether good or bad. And sometimes that bad energy carries along with you. And then you create an even worse situation at the place that you're calling home. So that's where I was like, nah, we're not doing that. Like if something bad happened at work, same thing with my daughter, with my girlfriend, with her kids. Like if something bad happens, we talk it out. Like, hey, and even like, it's amazing. Like my girlfriend started this and we sit down and say, hey, what were your highs and your lows of the day? And we talk about them, whether it was a good day or a bad day, we talk about it.
That's a great way to do things right there.
We talk about the and low light and the highlight. We talk about that all the time.
Like what was your best part of the day, what was your worst part of the day, how can we move forward from what your worst part of the day was, what happened, you know, just sit down and talk it out. We all know that we have a support system that no matter if you had your worst day, you always have people that you can talk to and you can turn to that, you know, can help you through it.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. Leaning on your inner circle, you know, like those people that are, you surround yourself with, that you know, sleeping next to in your house, like, you know, protecting your space. I love absolutely. That. Absolutely. I love that. That's and the other part that you said about holding space for the others, like, you know, as a yoga teacher, you know, when you show up to teach a class, literally before I was about to get on this show, like I had a call from the school my kid goes, he had hurt himself. So my wife had to go get him from the school. Like, but being able to like allow my summer to take care of that situation so that I can be fully present here. And that's not easy. And you get those texts right before you're about to teach or lead an experience. Like you gotta be able to let someone else handle that and you can be present with that once it's done, you know?
And that's the next step as far as like having people at home, like knowing that they can help you out, but trusting that they can help you out.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that we lean on is, you know, talking to each other, trusting each other, you know, allowing everybody to be themselves, but you know, it works out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So tell me, what's your yoga like these days? You know, I see you on Yoga Journal. I seen you on Aloe Moves, you know, so like, what is your practice like these days? Like beyond the physical form or more physical? What are you doing? What's going on?
The practice is more mental now. Like, not saying that I've gotten every asana that I want to get, or I've, you know, come up with every possible flow. There's still some creativity in there. Sometimes it takes a while for it to surface. Mm-hmm. So I make sure I stay present in my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, make sure I keep my mind open, keep my heart open. I'm not going to always make it to the mat because I have such a long day. Like, I'm working at 4:30 in the morning. I probably don't get done until 6-7 o'clock at night. By that time, me and my girl want to lay down and watch Game of Thrones or something like that. and so we sometimes don't have time to get on the mat. But what we do is, like I said, those moments where we talk about highs and lows, or
that's yoga, you know, man.
Just sit and reflect on the day. That's yoga. That's a communal meditation for us. So it's still there. Like we somehow implement a yogic, you know, philosophy into every part of our day. It just doesn't have to always be physical. And that's one thing that I had to teach myself is that yoga doesn't just mean that I'm on the mat stretching or, you know, doing handstands or anything. I mean, I can do a handstand whenever I need to, but
you could do it right now if you wanted.
I could.
In your truck. Maybe
on the roof of your truck.
I'm about to upgrade to a U-Haul to do that.
But I feel you. It's not just the physical thing, you know, it's way beyond that. And if you take it into all your relationships and all the things that you're doing, I know Brian can relate to that too. He's been doing tons of meditation stuff, you know,
And the physical you. And what I've learned just from my journey, and not saying it's necessarily true for everybody, but the physical was just the gateway for me. Now the mental is what I take through my everyday.
I love that, man. That's going to be the quote. I love that quote, man. I love that, man. I love that.
What's some advice? I got a question for the listeners out there, yoga teachers, or maybe beginning yoga teachers, maybe it's like their first year. Like, what is some good advice you can give to like a new yoga teacher, like hitting it out there?
Let's see, for themselves, just for their own practice or their own teaching, don't compare your journey or your teaching to the next person. Love that. That's a lot of things that go on with social media. Is I get messages and comments like, oh, I wish I can do this. It's like, well, you know, I had moments where I wished I can do a split. I have giant legs, so I can't do everything that, you know, a smaller or more flexible yogi can do, but you can still make a very dynamic practice for yourself. Yes. By not doing that. I've seen dynamic practices with just sun salutations. They make it their own. Mm-hmm. So don't compare your practice or your teaching or your experience on the mat to other people, because, you know, you're always going to fall short in your mind if you compare it to someone else's. So if you're doing handstands and you try to compare your handstands to mine, at some point you're going to kind of, I want to say, make yourself depressed or anything like that. But what's the word I'm looking for? You're going to discourage yourself.
That's the word.
And then just for teaching, the best advice I ever got as far as just teaching is learn how to teach off the mat. I think once we get out of YTT and we start teaching classes, we want to sit on the mat or, you know, read from your notes or, you know, try to practice along with your class to make sure you don't hit anything. Yeah. And that's just tiring. You find out very quickly how tiring that is. And one of my friends, he's a dope instructor. He's actually from Miami, but he teaches in Atlanta. And he said, he took my class. I was like, what's a piece of advice you can give me? He's like, learn how to teach off the mat. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what your flow is. Try to walk around, maybe, you know, make yourself a little more present around the room, maybe assist if you need to, but try to take your teaching off the mat. Like that gives a better experience for the people that are in your class, because they don't just have to look forward and see if you're, you know, up there. What are they doing? Are they doing the same thing you're doing? Now they kind of connect with you a little bit deeper because they are actually listening to you now rather than just looking up to see what's going on.
Yes.
Yeah. That's some good. That's some
really
sage
good advice.
Advice
really good advice. Yep. And for anyone out there too, that's going to take like practice too. Like, you know, one thing, because I had to do that. I teach at Lifetime Fitness, and it's just, there's like so many people in the class, like I can't prop my mat down. Like I had to like learn to like teach walking around, and it's like something that helped me is like do the pose, but then like figure out like my right hand is down on the mat, my left arm's high, like something like that. Mm-hmm. So like it doesn't have to get like so in depth with like the cueing. It's just like where's your fucking hand going, you know?
That's the
right,
that's
arm
the
back, left arm forward, you know.
That's the other thing. If you're, so any teachers or potential teachers who are in YTT right now, you don't have to say every cue that is in the book. Like I started to do that and I was like, damn, they've been in downward dog for like 5 minutes. Cause you want to say everything, you know, heels down, feet hip width apart, you know, press your hands into the mat. I'm like, they got it. Come on now. Just keep going.
Yeah, like 2-3 cues, like move on to the next one, right? Yeah,
that's it. Man.
And after a while, the cues start to speak to them on their own, so they don't. You don't have to keep reiterating them. The only thing I reiterate is breathing. That's one thing that people forget to do sometimes.
I swear, DJ, all the time.
You know?
And I probably do. I catch myself all the time, and I don't know why this happens to me. When I sit on my couch, it's like the first time where I'm. Like that I can remember a long time where I took a deep breath. Like if I just sit down, I'm like, all right, that was a deep breath. Like when's the last time I did one of those today? Maybe I don't even know. You know, I don't even know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yoga class, you get caught up in the pose and the flow and the music and the teaching. All of a sudden, oh, breathe. Oh, okay, breathe.
Yeah, breathe. Oh, I've been holding my breath for fucking like 4 breaths. You know, doing the Spookatasana. Thank you for telling me to breathe. Like it's so important. You know,
I'm thinking of tips now as we're talking. It's like. The last good tip I would give, and this is because, you know, yoga isn't what it once was as far as like the practice itself. It's become a business now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, not saying that it still can't be yoga, but we have to evolve with the times. If you're trying to be a full-time yoga teacher, you have to know how to make a living from it. So one thing I would tell teachers, potential teachers, even just starting with people who are in YTT now or thinking to start YTT, find your niche.
Mm, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's thousands, hundreds of thousands of yoga teachers out there. You know, chances are 50,000 of them going to be teaching the same thing. Find something that's unique to you. And also, don't wait until you get out of YTT to start teaching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 100%.
We feel like we have to wait for that. It's just like, getting a diploma. Do you wait until you get the diploma to start looking for a job, or do you find internships while you're in your, you know,
exactly,
in your degree program? So yeah. start finding your market, get your footing, learn your yoga voice or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But start teaching before you get out of YTT, because it's hell trying to find something that's sustaining in the yoga community, because you're going to be teaching at studios for $20 an hour or $20 a class. You're going to be trying to find, you know, people to teach to. I started by teaching my personal training clients. Hey, we're going to do yoga today. Like, we're not lifting today. We're doing yoga. That way I can get my feet wet. I actually halfway through my YTT, and that was just off the, you know, my following, I taught my first workshop. So I didn't even have my certification yet and taught my first workshop in Atlanta. So it's like, nice, step out your comfort zone. Like,
that's such good advice. Yeah, teach. Yeah, anybody out there, teach. Like, teach your family, teach like where you're working at. Like, if you're working in a corporate job, like, try and teach there. Like, teach.
Yeah.
Do park yoga, get on Facebook, do an event. Like, just teach.
I think people get worried. People get worried that if you start teaching before you get your certification, like, oh, they're going to, you know, you're going to get in trouble or something like that. Dude, unless you don't go to class or don't go to any of what they're doing in YTT, you're going to pass. Yeah, right. You paid $2,700, damn it. You better get that paper.
Yeah. And if you're that comfortable to like step, you know, getting in that comfort zone, stepping out and like teaching like around in your little local community or people at the park or your family, whatever, like you're obviously going to graduate. You're going to be ready. You know what I mean? Like you clearly are in, you know what I mean? Like you're in for this experience. So,
yeah.
And it's been great. And what other people get hung up on is like, when you're niching down, it's like, you feel like, oh, like, someone said it earlier, it's like when you're teaching for everybody, like if you're offering something for everyone, like sometimes it's really for no one. Like, can you offer something to a specific, you know, if you have something specific that you like to share, like find the people that really want to hear that message and just keep talking to them. And they're going to tell their friends that want to hear that message. They're going to come too.
And don't fall into the fads. Like, teach what's authentic to you.
Yes.
So being a black yoga instructor, you know, the tattoos, the locks, you know, I've gotten people ask me, well, do you teach trap yoga? No, because I don't practice the trap music. I do not practice the trap music, so I'm not teaching trap yoga. You're not going to hear the Migos or Future in my class. You're going to hear what I normally practice to, or what resonates with me, or what people, you know, gravitate towards. I don't teach with like the typical meditative music, the crystal bowls, the bells. You don't hear any of that in my class. You'll hear Janae Aiko. You'll hear Lauryn Hill. You'll hear Bob Marley. You'll hear Skip Marley. You're going to hear so many things that you wouldn't hear in a normal class.
Yeah, yep. I love that.
That's what makes you authentic.
And that's you. You know, it makes you authentic. Like, that's, love that.
I love that. So where can we take your class? Now, are you like teaching these days? Like, what's the deal? Like,
I teach private clients. Uh-huh. The same reason I said before is because yoga classes, for you to carve out 3 hours of your day, and I'm not trying to discourage or take business away from yoga studios, because I'm trying to open my own as well.
Oh, nice.
It's in the works.
Just say it.
I can't yet. This is me and my girlfriend's project.
Great.
But, not trying to take anything from them, but you know, yoga studios, they have 7-8 teachers. They have to split the pie, you know, equally and
business,
in a smart way where they still make money. So I refuse to teach at a studio. I can't carve out 3 hours out of a busy day for, you know, $25, $30 for a class where I can teach my private client and get paid a lot more. So I teach privately. I'm actually about to go back on tour possibly this summer. Once I get back from a retreat in Egypt.
So Egypt. So tell us about Egypt. Is it sold out? Or is it sold out?
The first week is sold out. The second week, we might be sold out by now. Last time I checked, which was 2 weeks ago, we had one spot left.
Who are you going? Are you going with Kevin again?
I wish.
Who are you going
with? I want him to photograph this one. So I'm doing it with that Zencher again.
Okay.
But I think I'm trying to get my boy Rome. He's the one who started Moving Art Experience. I'm trying to get him to videotape it.
Nice, man. Nice. Yeah. Egypt. Like how did Egypt sounds amazing. Like I've never been over there. So
I haven't either.
Have you? Okay. Yeah. And now you are with two different groups of people.
Yeah. And I'm a big geography nerd. I'm a big history nerd. So I've always wanted to travel. Like I said, when I did Peru last year, I've been wanting to go to Peru since third grade. So like I said before, like the path kind of opens up and evolves and brings itself together where now it's like, shit, I can go travel and visit all these places while doing what I love.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
So and getting paid. So the first chance I got, I was like, okay, I'm doing Peru and now I want to do Egypt. And I'm going to piss some yoga people off, but this is where yoga came from. So I'm going back to the origin of it.
Cool, man. Cool. That's so fucking dope, man. And the Peru place looked amazing.
Oh, like, my God. It was so much. And, you know, the landscape aside, you know, just being in South America, the energy there was like no other. Like, you can't find a place in North America that matches that energy. I don't know about the rest of the world. I haven't been all over yet. Mm-hmm. But I have not been to a place that matches that spiritual energy. Mm-hmm. And like the people there know it. Like they don't play about it. Like their mountains are, you know, spirits to them. The water is spirits to them. Like everything is spiritual.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. It was insane.
So cool. So you're doing these retreats. You're going to go around and do a tour thing. Maybe you're going to open a studio, but they can practice with you online, you know, for now they can do it online. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. And we'll make sure we link everything in the notes for everything, where to find you.
And
I practice. So, go ahead.
I would say the next retreat, I haven't launched it yet, but the next retreat is Bali. So if you want to get, yeah.
Brian, get a ticket.
I'm gonna switch it up a little bit. We're gonna do more of a fitness yoga retreat. So there is gonna be some boot camps involved, maybe some morning runs and stuff like that. So we're gonna switch it up a little bit where we're gonna dial back the yoga and dial up the intensity.
Cool, man. Brian, I don't know about running. Brian, are you in?
In Bali, I'd consider it. I wouldn't run in Phoenix. I'm in Phoenix. Zero running for me in Phoenix, God. But
I've
Bali
been there
maybe.
Before. I've been to Phoenix before. It sucked. It was a different kind of heat.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Like, it's like a convection oven. You can say it.
Yeah, it is. It is. Like, I have to make sure, like, you know, there's nothing in my car that will melt, like, in the summer, because, like, everything will melt.
I thought Florida was bad.
Yeah. So, DJ, it's worse over there than over here.
I can leave lunch in my car and know that it'd be a little bit warm when I get back. So I'm like, okay, I'll have to microwave it. In Phoenix, you might not have Tupperware left. It might be glued to your seat.
In Phoenix, it's on your seat. It's melted. Like, that's going to stain my leather.
Oh, man. So DJ, tell us about yoga for, you know, strength and flexibility. How are you making that connection? You know, between the strength and the flexibility part and the mind part, because mm-hmm. like you hone in on that, like that's your wheelhouse, I feel like.
Yeah. So with that particular course, what I did was it was hard to figure it out, but once I got it, I was like, okay, we're going that way. So it's split up into 6 weeks, and each week there's a theme. So there's power, there's flexibility, there's mobility, there's balance, there's now I gotta remember. I wish I had my notes with me.
It's all good. But there's six different.
Pretty much, we split it into six different themes, and each theme you'll have like drills that you do, like kind of like fitness and calisthenic drills to like help hone in on that particular theme of the week. And then we'll have a few minutes of stretching, and then a yoga class to like bring it all together. So it starts with fitness, and then ends with yoga.
That's so cool, man! You created the program. Yeah. Like, you did it. Yeah, it was all you.
Yeah.
That's so amazing, you know, and that's something that I wanted to share. Like, I wanted you to talk about that because I wanted to share that, you know, have people understand, like when you first come out of teacher training, like you're just learning how to teach, you know, and then as you evolve on your thing and you're into like your niche, which is you, is like strength and mobility and flexibility, you be able to, you create things around that and just allow the process to evolve organically, like without force, but just start somewhere, start by doing one thing right now. It's, like what can you right like, now and let it grow?
It's just like a business. Like with opening a business, you start off with what do I need to have? So if you open up a space, you have to have licenses, you have to be up to code, you have to have permits and all that stuff. And then once you go from there, it's like, okay, now how do I make this space mine? Mm-hmm. So you have to start with the foundation. So the foundation in yoga teacher training is, okay, how do we align people correctly? How do we, you know, sequence a class correctly? How do you warm them up and then cool them down correctly? How do you effectively get them from, you know, out in their body to, you know, in their mind and then back into their body, so, you know, they don't have any bad experience? You know, how do you keep an ethical space around you? And then once you get that down, which is what you learn in YTT, it's like, okay, how do I make myself stand out from the rest of, you know, the teachers? Or how do I make this space something that people want to come back to all the time?
100%. And teach what you know. I mean, like, you came from football and like an athlete, and like you're teaching what you know, and like you're incorporating the strength and that mobility aspect. But like someone else, if they don't have that background, like you just teach what you know, where you came from, why you came to the yoga mat.
And that's when your YTT takes, like, comes back into full swing, because I started, you know, with the intention of teaching athletes, because I knew that athletes seriously needed it. Yes. But, you know, there's 1 out of 10 athletes that have come to me. So, you know, the other 9 are like normal everyday people. So yeah. I know how to teach an incredible power class, or I know how to fashion a sequence to an NFL athlete who has all these, you know, debilitating things going on with them. But I'm not going to get that audience all the time. I'm actually rarely get that audience. You know, 95% of the time I get, you know, every normal day people, or people who've never done yoga before, or, you know, people who are overweight or don't have the strength or endurance to be able to do what I do. So that's when yoga teacher training comes back. It's like, okay, start with what I have and bring it back to how do I align them correctly and, you know, modify everything so that they can get this and then start to work their way up to what I want to do.
Yeah.
100%. I feel like for me, you know, teacher training really got me like one solid class, like that I can go to, like my go-to class. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm freaking nervous or I got something like really, like, you know, I got my one go-to fucking class that I can change it around or do something with. And that's what really like YTT helped me out with. And then it's like exploring from there. Like, where do you go from your go-to class?
I feel like the first effective thing you learn in YTT is sun salutations. If you learn how to teach a sun salutation, I can build a 90-minute class off of sun salutation A.
Love that.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yes.
And that's why even with my clients, I teach them, okay, this is what we're doing today. I will spend an hour, you know, breaking down sun salutation, and that'll be their hour class.
Yeah,
but amazing. If it's something they've never done before, it's completely new to them. It feels totally different. They have to get used to it.
Yeah, and it gets everything in your body. Like, it gets your whole spine lit up, like everything.
Exactly.
Like, it's like you like such a good base. Like, I love that. Great
and
advice right there.
That's what I tell everybody. Like, if they're trying to learn how to do handstands or splits or whatever it may be, I'm like, every hard pose that you can think of starts in one of these poses in sun salutation. Mm-hmm. It's like, once you get sun salutation down, I can, like, my inversion workshop, the first 30 minutes of my inversion workshop is plank and chaturanga. Yeah. And it's only a two hour class. Mm. So it's like, we start with the foundation. Before we even put our head on the ground and do anything else, you have to be able to do chaturanga.
100%.
Whether it's holding it or doing push-ups out of it or whatever it may be.
That's so cool, dude, man.
So good.
You inspire me, man. Seriously. You inspire me. Not that I want to do any chaturangas ever, but if I did, I would come do it with you.
Oh, my class hates me. Like, every class I do, they know we're doing at least 30 chaturangas in class.
We're going to have to make a meme of this.
With you. 100%.
About chaturangas.
Like, yeah, meme DJ.
AKA chaturanga king.
So good, man. This is so good. Well, TJ, you've offered so much value with your inspiring story. Like, everyone that's listening to this show definitely got some value, especially, like, you know, they can relate to you as like a newer yoga teacher and just like having going through your journey that you've gone through, you know? So thank you for bringing it. Thank you for being you. Thank you for sharing your message, man, because people out there, they need to hear it, and you're willing to be heard, and you got something inspiring to say, you know, inspiring to
thank you so about. So thank you so much, man.
I remember sending you a message about the league. Like, I remember real quick before we wrap this up, funny story. So it was like the Super Bowl, Wes Welker had like a concussion, something. I said, hey, DJ, if Belichick calls you, Are you gonna go? Are you gonna go? Maybe you're gonna get the phone call. You ready to go back to the league? And he's like, nah, man, I hung it up. I gave it up. Nope. He's like, my body is done. I'm done. My body is done. Like, no, it's not happening anymore.
And my body's actually in better, not better shape. It's more so better prepared for hits like what happens in the NFL. I'm just not in that NFL shape anymore. I'm still in shape, but you know, me going out and sprint, I will come back. Like, it's not happening right now. Give me, if the NFL ever called me, I would have to tell them, you got to give me a month. If y'all can give me a month, I'll be ready.
All right.
You call me, if you call me right now, I'm not embarrassing myself for nobody.
You heard it here first. Give him a month, man. The man's back on the field. He's ready.
Oh, man. But appreciate your story, man. And like, anybody listening, like, and you're a guy, like, do yoga, like, start yoga. Like yeah. DJ is a great example, a guy that's tattooed, like, football player, and he's freaking a yogi and teaching yoga and went down the rabbit hole. So it's a great example. Yeah. Like, share this with your husbands, boyfriends, whatever. Like,
there anybody is that needs yoga in their
you
life,
guys out there to do yoga.
Yeah, it's happening. Yeah. It's happening.
I'm telling you, like, guys, you will thank yourself first and foremost. The people around you will thank you. Your partner will thank you, if you know what I mean. Like, it helps a lot. In every way possible, all the things, it helps.
Man, so I love you guys.
Try it at least.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Give it an honest effort. Give it a fair shake. So with that, my friends, we're going to sign off on this episode of The Yogi Show. We will link everything back on theyogishow.com and the notes below, how to find DJ, practice with him and all the things he's got going on, how to travel with him around the world. And we appreciate you so much, brother.
Man, appreciate it, man. Y'all have a good one.
All right, man. Namaste, friends. Namaste.
Namaste. One love, man.
And there you have it, my friends. Another episode of The Yogi Show podcast in the books, with DJ Townsill on the show. We are so grateful for him being on the show today, and super grateful for our sponsor, Pranamat Eco. Check them out at pranamateco.com to grab yourself an acupressure mat, a pillow, any of their goodies. They're the best coming out of Europe, and they're super, super amazing. Great for self-love, self-massage. Grab one for you or someone you love. Super high-quality product, and we love it, and we love them. So thank you for listening. Check out DJ at dade2shelby.net and on Instagram, of course, at dade2shelby. You can check out all the links below for everything. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being you. We'll see you soon. Can't wait for the next one. Until next time, my friends, gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. Namaste.